Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonies of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up September 30th through October 2nd in Pennsylvania. So call us today at 1-800-497-8748 or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and we're excited this week to have a special guest on the phone with us, Chris McKenna. Chris, how are you today?
I'm great, Jonathan. How are you?
Doing great. And in just a little bit, listeners, we're going to get to hear more about what Chris is involved with and kind of what he can offer to you as some help and solutions and just ways to deal with this issue of sexual brokenness in our culture and even in our families. But before we do that, I just want to let you know about our three-day intensive workshops that we do for men. It's Gateway to Freedom. These are intensives for guys who are just saying either I need to get started on this journey of dealing with the sexual brokenness in my life, whether it be pornography, other kinds of acting out, or maybe you've been on the journey for a little while and you feel stuck. And you need a catalyst to take you to deeper levels of understanding and integrity. So the Gateway to Freedom Workshop, you can learn more about it at gatewaymen.com. We do these periodically throughout the year in several different regions around the country. Again, gatewaymen.com, and you can learn all about it. So, Chris, I would love for our listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So why don't you share with us a little bit about who you are and kind of how you maybe came to get involved in sexual purity ministry?
Yeah, sure, Jonathan. So I guess I consider myself a pretty normal guy. I'm married about 16 years, father of four children, kind of in the younger ages, 11, 6, 6, and 4, and so very much in the throes of parenting. But specific to how I came to be a part of really the anti-pornography sort of movement is through what I was doing in the local church. I was a youth pastor for middle schoolers, and even going back further than that, I'm a man who has struggled with pornography in my past. And so as technology has become just a bigger part of everyday life, I know that that was a doorway that I really struggled with. And what I started to notice in the ministry and working with families and working with middle schoolers is that this was an issue that was starting to manifest itself more and more with younger and younger kids. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me an opportunity to use what was my own story of brokenness and then redemption as a light for others and to guide parents and to say, okay, I understand. Here's what we can do to help your child, whether it was a crisis situation of help Chris, my child is looking at porn, or Chris, I want to prevent my child from stumbling in this way. How can you help? And I started to notice more and more parents who were asking questions, you know, in that, along those lines. And so that led me to create Protect Young Eyes last year, which really is a website and then presentations and information for parents so that they can help kids navigate the digital culture that they're in. How can they teach a child to have discernment with the technology that they have? And then through presentations that I give at churches and schools and other places, an opportunity to share sort of my own journey through an addiction to pornography that started when I was young, into college, into adulthood, into my marriage for years. But then this moment of, wow, I need to live a different way. And it's amazing to me how God can take that brokenness and turn it towards his glory. And that's exactly what he's mm-hmm. done. So many people who have appreciated being open and honest with where I've been, but then the hope of where I am today. It's not, I don't want the emphasis to be on the yuck. I want it to be on, yes, the yuck, but look at what can happen if you decide to walk in a different direction, because life without porn is just a better way to live, and I want more and more sure. people to hear that message.
So let me ask you, so you said you kind of came out of your own struggle with pornography, your own addictive patterns there, and then at some point there was this turn that said, hey, it's not just about you getting well, there's a culture around you that is sick and needing help. What was that like to go from just realizing that, you know, you've got some skeletons in your closet that need to be cleaned out, to then realizing, oh my goodness, I may need to step into the fray of helping others clean the closets in their own life? What was that like? Because I think sometimes people don't realize what that transition can feel like. And also, I think there's a lot of people in the dark of their pornography addiction or their whatever their sexual brokenness is, that they have this viewpoint that says, listen, if I ever do start dealing with this, it's really just about me getting well. So what was it like to then realize there's more than just you as an individual getting well? There is something of value to your story that can impact others.
Yeah, well, this is the cool part of how, you know, God surprises us in some really exciting ways. So I had these sort of parallel things going on. As you said, I had decided about 6 years ago that it was time to really deal with this sinful behavior. And so that was a process of coming clean to my wife, getting accountability into my life, and using, you know, software and other things like Covenant Eyes to help me in that way. So if you think of that path kind of running, and then parallel to that, I have parents who are asking a lot of questions and wanting to know how to use technology. Well, Jonathan, in all honesty, I never consciously intended to weave my story of addiction and then continued recovery into that path. Mm-hmm. What happened was, I can remember it very specifically. I was presenting at a church to about a group of 70 parents about technology, and really just sort of, I call it, quote, out of nowhere, it was the Spirit prompting me. It compelled me to tell my story, and sort of there on the spot, I spoke very openly with a whole group of strangers about how I was exposed to porn as an elementary school child and what that did to create this real destructive pattern of behavior. And I ended it with, I think the reason I'm supposed to be doing this is because I don't want any of your 12-year-old sons to become me.
Right.
And from that moment on, it became critical. It became like crystal clear to me that the power in this path that was running parallel, that was sort of the technology education path, the power in that path was my story, was God's redemption through my story. But that was not my original intent. I mean, who wants to tell a bunch of strangers, yeah, I'm a recovering porn addict?
Right.
I don't think many people just wake up wanting to do that. But it opened up a door of conversation with people who then automatically felt like they had this connection to me because I was open and honest with them about it. God blesses that kind of transparency, that authenticity, I think. At least he did for me. And
Well, and that's just it. I don't think
what he did.
I don't think I have yet to meet a man ever who enters into recovery or into a process of breaking free from their sexual sin who goes in with the mindset of, yeah, I really want this to be something that more than just people in recovery know about. I've never met a guy that says, I want to go into recovery for the opportunities for ministry. Nobody does that. But what's cool, what's very cool, and this is what I love about how God works, is he unfolds things in our lives, especially the darkest, most painful parts of our lives when we start to go through a healing process. He unfolds those in layers. I mean, can you imagine if God just pulled back the curtain and just showed us everything about the process and where it would ultimately end up? I think we would be too overwhelmed. I mean, we might like to look at where it's going, but to see all of it at once would crush us. And so he's very gentle and merciful to just unfold that. And now that you have, you know, you've sort of crossed that threshold and said, okay, I'm starting to see the value of allowing my story to be part of the ministry to parents and families. What did that start looking like when you had to start looking to instruct or help or provide resources for families? How did you begin to develop what you were going to present to a parent of, let's say, a preteen on how to deal with the sexually broken culture that we live in?
Well, what it showed me, Jonathan, was that my experiences during that period of addiction, the mindset that I had, the doorways that I was looking for, the sneaking around, the deceptive behavior, as I started to reflect back on those things that I was doing, it gave me more ammunition, more information to tell parents, hey, these are things that you need to be aware of. This is what technology will do to tempt children, tempt your child in a way. So it gave me more to be able to pass that on to parents. Say, you know what? Nighttime, for example, this is what the nighttime did to my temptation and my behaviors. Do you have rules in your home about what time of day technology is used? Because I can tell you from personal experience, blah, 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 blah. Or I could say to them, you know, this was the spot in my home where I found privacy and therefore made a lot of poor choices. Do you find that your child uses technology behind a lot of closed doors or in their bedroom or things like that? So it allowed me to speak to parents through a position of experience so they could look at the different sort of environments or risk factors in their own home and then make better internet safe decisions, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is it important to, you mentioned earlier that you started realizing that, man, you know, okay, you've got to talk about the yuck. I mean, you got to talk about the brokenness. You've got to talk about the realities of just how ugly and dangerous and unhealthy pornography is, but that your real emphasis is pointing people toward the truth and towards the good and towards just the beauty of our sexuality. How do you come alongside a parent and help them do that? Because I think one of the things that is a very common reaction of parents when you start even opening up the topic of having to deal with sexuality with their children is it's like this wave of panic and fear comes over the parent, because many times it's almost as if their only context of that conversation and topic is the yuck, the negative, the danger. So how do you help to kind of shift that paradigm for a parent to draw them into the conversation with their child where it's more of a beautiful thing? It's more of a protection of what's good rather than just a take you away from what's bad.
What I try to do is make it as easy for the parent as possible. I think a lot of parents shy away from those conversations because it was probably handled poorly for them. And so they are carrying baggage of awkwardness attached to sexuality and are, as a result, treating it awkwardly with their kids. When in fact, to your point, it's a natural, it's a God-given desire for children to be curious and to have those kinds of questions. Sex was created by God, and it only becomes awkward and uncomfortable when we teach our children through our our lack of conversation or our lack of authenticity. We can teach them awkwardness on that topic. And so parents, I think, underestimate the power of frequent, intentional, timely conversation. You don't need to know a thing about technology. And what I tell parents is you have the best weapon, the best tool already with you to teach your kids how to use technology well or how to interpret their sexuality. And that is conversation. What used to be just the talk when I was a kid, it was like that one-time talk, now has to be frequent, consistent talks throughout the course of a child's life, because Dr. Google is on 24/7. Dr. Google is answering all kinds of deep, heartfelt questions from kids when mom and dad are silent, and
right,
his ethical construct is typically not theirs. And so it's through conversation sheets that we've created for the different phases of life. I mean, how do you talk to an elementary school kid about the dangers of pornography, about some of the big questions that they have? That's a really important thing for parents to know, because if they're not having those conversations, then chances are they're having those conversations on the school bus. The opportunities to find answers are so much greater today because of our access to technology that parents need to be so much more proactive in talking about awkward things. A phrase I use all the time is there's no such thing as passive parenting in the digital age.
Mm-hmm.
The parents have to be observant, engaged, and informed constantly, because that smart device or whatever tablet is always whispering, and we have to give different answers.
Well, you know, I like it, because I, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, we have to help parents realize that they need to have real FaceTime with their kids. It's like, you know, I've always thought it's funny when I hear that term FaceTime about some of the technology with the iPhones and things like that. I'm like, you know, we're fooling ourselves sometimes if we think we're actually having FaceTime when we're all, you know, huddled around our screens. And so you're right. I think that's great that you're empowering parents to realize they already have the most important tool in their toolbox, and that is a relationship to be able to have a conversation with their kids. Now, speaking of technology, though, obviously that's going to be something that does come up very, very often with parents in our culture today, because there is not a place you can go in our country, at least in the Western world, where screens are not present, whether they're in somebody's pocket or they're in the restaurant where you're eating, or my goodness, even when you go to the gas pump now, there's screens there. So how do you help parents navigate this very real, you know, aspect of the technology?
Well, what parents come to realize is that, as you've said, they're everywhere. You cannot control all of the access points that people have, kids have to technology now. And so, yes, control the access points that you can, but the best filter that a kid can have is one that he or she develops in his or her heart. We have to give kids tools to know what to do when they see something inappropriate, because we cannot control all the places they're going to see it. It's not a matter of if my child will run into something inappropriate or see something that I disapprove of. It's just a matter of when. And so the question is not if, it's does my kid have the tools to know what to do when it happens? And typically these are not very complicated tools. There's an amazing resource out there called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. It's a book that I use in my presentations. It's actually a secular resource, but it's written with a lot of biblical foundation, and it gives young kids, elementary school kids, tools for what to do when they see an inappropriate picture. Because whether a kid is 8 years old, an 8 year old, because that was the age when I was exposed to porn, an 8 year old might not be able to say that's pornography, but an 8 year old knows that that's a bad picture.
Mm-hmm.
An 8 year old knows that that's kind of a weird picture. So what happens when an 8 year old sees a weird picture? They need to do three simple things. Say that's weird, put it down, and tell someone. If you give an 8 year old those three steps, they can execute that. Now an 8-year-old knows what to do. Every time I see something online that's weird or scary, I don't understand, I say, whoa, that's weird. I put it down and I tell someone. It's a real simple thing, but we need to actually give our kids those tools, because the best filter is going to be the one they carry with them, to your point, because we're not there all the time to watch all those screens.
And our listeners will be somewhat familiar with what you just mentioned, with good pictures, bad pictures, because just recently we had Kristen Jensen, the author of that book, on a radio
great.
Program. Just excellent. Yeah, so really good stuff. And it is a good resource, and it's a great tool for parents. Now, as far as your ministry, obviously, you know, Protect Young Eyes was really geared towards parents of kids. But is your ministry broader than that? Are you seeking to serve people on a larger level than that? Because it seems like things have kind of morphed in your life as you've gotten more and more involved in dealing with helping people protect themselves against the pornography and the other things that are in our culture. So what other aspects are you involved in ministry?
Yeah. So in addition to equipping parents with tools, I also do marketing. I'm the educational resource manager for Covenant Eyes, who I know that you're very familiar with, Jonathan, for internet accountability and filtering. And so it's a lot of different types of people that I'm trying to bring resources to. So yes, the parent, but what about the dad who is that parent who may be struggling with an addiction of his own? Well, that's where through Covenant Eyes, we have just unbelievable ebooks and other information to help somebody who wants to get on that path or recovery. Or what about a wife, a spouse of somebody who's struggling with addiction? Again, Covenant mm-hmm. Eyes has resources for that wife. Or what about the woman who's struggling? I mean, there's all kinds of resources that Covenant Eyes can bring to the table to help in that way. And so kind of from the whole family approach there, whoever might want to use technology better, whoever might want to make better decisions with the technology that we have, which, by the way, it is an amazing blessing. I mean, when I talk to people, I want them to know that I love technology. It is an amazing tool, but like any tool, there is an inappropriate dark way to use it. And so my message is never one of put your kid in a bubble and keep them away from technology as much as you can, but it's, again, how do we equip them to use it well? How do we equip mom and dad to use it well? And how can we can help the whole family in that way make better choices?
Now, taking a step back, because we've talked about parents, now we're talking about kind of the broader scope of anybody struggling in any kind of area with the sexual brokenness issue. If you were to try to give, I know I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, if you were to try to give kind of the top principles that are so critical, no matter a person's age, when it comes to living in our culture that truly is what I would call pornified. I mean, we are totally sexualized culture. What would be the top principles that you think are absolutely key for a person to be pursuing in order to be able to live a life of sexual integrity in the culture in which we live?
The number one thing I would say is that whether you are 13, 33, or 93, living an accountable lifestyle is the best way. Mm. You never get to a point, I don't believe, as a Christian in this working out my salvation, I am never going to get to a point where I have sanctified my way out of the need. And I don't sanctify myself. That's not what I'm trying to say. But mm-hmm. I will never get to a point while on planet Earth where I don't believe I will need some look me in the eye, sit across the table, accountability. If someone who's not just pointing out the things I'm doing wrong, but who knows me well enough to call me up to who I can be in Christ, to lead me closer into relationship with Him in all areas of life, specifically, yes, dealing with the temptations, the sexual temptations are around us, but more so today than ever, because those temptations are everywhere. I know the darkness of the human heart. I know the darkness of my own heart. And I need that face across from me, that trusted friend who's going to look me in the eye and say, Chris, how are you doing? and not just the pat American answer. I'm great. We love to say that, but I have an accountability partner who can look at me and say, tell me a little bit more about that. I'm never going to grow out of that, especially in a culture where the temptation points are so prevalent.
So for the person out there who is maybe still struggling, and what I mean is they haven't come out of the dark. They're still kind of drowning in their sexual brokenness.
Yeah.
With this issue of accountability being so key, what would you say to them as far as how would you encourage them to take those first steps to getting into those kinds of environments where they can be accountable?
Yeah, and definitely turn to the Lord in prayer to shed some light on who that person can be. Because when you're struggling, there's a lot of perceived risk in the thought that I've got to come clean to somebody. I've tried to hide this. The last thing I want to do is talk to somebody about it. But pray for guidance to find who that right person is. Involve somewhat of a step of faith to understand that life lived in light, just a way to live. We see that over and over again into what we read in scripture is living a children's life. And so the amount of self-help is going to pull him or her out of that addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they tried all those things, try to get myself out of it. And it wasn't until Jonathan and I came to the realization that I cannot help myself that I really started to experience real heart change. And so bathe that decision in prayer, you know, sit down, have that open, honest conversation. And, you know, just let the Lord kind of lead from there. And I'm sure that person will know pretty early on in that conversation whether or not it's going to be the right fit. But we have, and I can't think of the exact title right now, but we have a couple of blog posts at Covenant Eyes that provide some real specific, call them steps. They're not sequential necessarily, but some things to keep in mind when selecting an accountability partner that might be helpful for your audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Chris, that's a great segue because we only got a couple minutes left, and I really would like for our listeners to be able to know where they can go. I mean, what are some places that they can get some of this help? What are some websites? You know, where can they go to get more help?
Sure. So if you're the mom or the dad that is saying, yep, I've got a young kid or a tween or a teen, and I want tools in order to know how to help them use their devices better or have some of these conversations, they can go to protectyoungeyes.com and find a resources tab there where they'll have a number of things that they can download. All the information out there, Jonathan, is free about using devices, different apps kids use today just to inform and equip parents so they can have the right conversations. If they find themselves in a position where they're a mom or a dad who's wanting to maybe break from some sort of online addiction, then I would point them to covenanteyes.com/ebook. And there's a gap in between books. And there they're going to find a wealth downloadable free books that they can read that are going to speak to all different aspects, whether they are that wife of an addict or they are the addict. They're going to find all kinds of resources there that are going to give them information they might need to that step to say, you know what, I want to start living. Of course, from there, we do have software, Covenant Eyes, that you can load onto devices to help encourage that kind of accountability, which is what I use just to keep things out in the light and to keep things transparent in how I'm using my phone and other things. So those would be, depending on the sort of stage or the role that they find themselves in, those are really the two spots, the ebooks page and then Protect Young Eyes to find resources as a mom or a dad. So
great. And we will include, listeners, we're going to include those links and everything on our webpage as well so that you can access those resources at both Protect Young Eyes and also Covenant Eyes. And so, Chris, thanks for being with us this week.
You're welcome, Jonathan.
And listeners, we're glad you were with us as well, and we look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.